Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 29th of July 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In today's episode of Azo Nano News, we'll see what a Möbius loop has to do with aromatic molecules, hear how nanotechnology is helping to make a stronger bulletproof vest, and how your laser printer might be trying to kill you. Also today, we'll hear how gold is not only precious, it might one day save your life, and how a new type of aerogel can remove mercury from water. All these stories and much more in this episode of Azo Nano News. Living Cell Technologies Limited today announced the publication of a scientific paper endorsing the microencapsulation technology used in the cell-based therapeutic product Diabecell. Microencapsulation technology is used extensively as a technique for introducing cell-based therapeutics into the body. Living Cell has developed a unique biocapsule that is used in the Diabecell product to coat pancreatic islet cells and to prevent immune rejection when transplanted into the abdomen of type 1 diabetes patients. The study, published in the peer-reviewed Scientific Journal of Biomedical Materials Research Part A, compared the stability and longevity of Living Cell's microencapsulation technology to other baseline technologies. The study revealed that Living Cell's biocapsules, when implanted in rats, were able to survive for a longer period in the abdomen than other technologies. Living Cell has produced a stable biocapsule made of ultra-pure alginate that is capable of surviving in diverse transplant sites, including the harsh environment inside the abdomen, for at least 215 days. This is in contrast to the baseline formulated capsules that remain stable for less than 60 days in the same anatomical location. Both the LCT and baseline biocapsules were tested without live cells inside. Alginate, in its purest form, can be an extremely biocompatible barrier, being resistant to attack to the host immune system while simultaneously enabling diffusion of cell-secreted proteins across the microcapsule membrane wall into the body. It's been widely used to introduce cell-based therapeutics into the body, but success has varied greatly due to methods of manufacture and formulation. If you take a strip of paper, twist one end by 180 degrees, and then stick the two ends together to form a ring, the result is called a Möbius strip, a geometric shape with only one surface and one edge. You can prove this by making a line along the strip with a pencil. Without lifting the pencil, you get back to your starting point, with the whole strip marked. At each point, both sides of the strip are marked by the line. Ring-shaped aromatic molecules can also have a topology like that of a Möbius strip, with only one side. Polish researchers have now made a porphyrin-like ring that can do something its paper analog can't. As the Polish team reports in the journal Angewandte Chemie, the new molecule can switch back and forth between the one-sided Möbius topology and a normal two-sided state, without breaking the ring. An aromatic compound is a nearly planar ring with bonding, yet freely mobile, electron pairs from double bonds. These so-called N-electrons reside in a kind of electron cloud, with a part above and a part below the plane of the ring. This is the classic Huckel topology. Even rings that are twisted into a figure eight can have this topology. If the ring system is twisted by 180 degrees, the result is a Möbius topology, no longer a difference between the upper and lower electron cloud. Like the pencil line on the Möbius strip of paper, the two clouds merge together to form a single continuous surface. The Polish researchers have now synthesized a large molecular ring which can be classified as an expanded porphyrin analog, which can do what the glued-together paper strip cannot. Without having to break a single bond in the figure-eight-shaped ring system, it can switch back and forth between the Huckel and Möbius topologies. Even the figure-eight shape is retained. The trick to this molecule with its split personality is two aromatic six-membered rings that lie directly opposite each other in the large ring system and form the crossing point of the figure eight. These two freely spinning rings can either lie flat on top of each other, with their planes lying in parallel, or one of the rings can be twisted by 90 degrees so that their planes lie perpendicular to each other. In the parallel arrangement, there's a clear distinction of the upper and lower parts of the N-electron cloud, in accordance with a Hückel topology. A solution of the compound in this configuration is green in colour. The perpendicular arrangement is the Möbius arrangement and is blue in colour. The rotated six-member ring provides the twist required to unite the upper and lower electron clouds. Which topology the molecule prefers depends on the type of solvent and the temperature. Panalytical's Expert Reflectivity 1.2 is a new version of the company's powerful software tool for the analysis of X-ray reflectometry data, important in thin film production and thin film processing research. Expert Reflectivity enables the automatic fitting of simulated to experimental specular X-ray reflectivity curves. This new version, which can be launched and controlled using Expert Automatic Processing Program, increases the level of automation possible. Using a choice of three automatic fitting procedures, the software performs multiple simulations to refine selected sample and instrument parameters, ensuring the best fit with the measured data. Traditionally, such high-level analysis has been the preserve of experts, but the Expert Reflectivity package makes advanced reflectometry techniques available even to the inexperienced user. With the emphasis on ease of use, Expert's Reflectivity 1.2 operates through an intuitive Windows-based user interface. An extensive materials database for use in simulation and fitting is built into the package. This includes information such as elemental atomic numbers and masses, mass absorption and anomalous dispersion coefficients for different X-ray wavelengths. The database is extendable and new materials and values for other wavelengths may be added. Sigma Aldrich announced today that more than 56,000 of its structures representing specialty chemicals from its catalogue have been added to the National Institute of Health's PubChem, a publicly accessible database of chemical structures and biological assay data. In conjunction with this, PubChem's IDs have been incorporated into product listings on the Sigma Aldrich website, providing customers a link between a molecule on the Sigma Aldrich website and the corresponding PubChem data. These structures are derived from thousands of bioactive small molecules and biologically relevant scaffolds for use in small molecule screening and medicinal chemistry. This edition represents the second contribution by Sigma Aldrich to PubChem. Structures representing the widely used library of pharmacologically active compounds, a collection of approved drugs and bioactive small molecules, were added in April 2007. Experts in workplace protection and nanoparticle monitoring from around the United States will come together with business leaders at the Nanotech's 07 Environmental Health and Safety Summit to explore the state of the art in worker and environmental protection. The EHS Summit will open to a live audience of interested professionals at the Nanotech's 07 Conference and Expo from October 3rd to 4th at the Dallas Convention Center during International Nanotechnology Week. Nanotechnology has great potential to deliver societal benefits, but it may also pose significant risks to human health and the environment. As materials reach the nanoscale, novel properties emerge, such as changes in surface chemistry, reactivity, and electrical conductivity, which could alter toxicological properties or exposure potential. One of the EHS Summit panels will present the latest science and best risk management practices for industries working with nanotechnology. Another panel will address the different guidance documents for assessing and managing potential environmental and health risks from nanotechnology products that have been developed and published over the course of the past year. The NanoSteel Company, an industry-leading producer of nanostructured steel alloys for industrial applications, announces the commercial availability of its latest alloy line, utilizing the company's patented super-hard steel technology. SHS 9700 features an ultra-refined crystalline microstructure, up to 1,000 times finer than existing solutions, and extreme hardness of up to 69 RC without the use of nickel, molybdenum, or tungsten. The improved hardness and wear performance and cost-effective pricing of SHS 9700 makes it an attractive hard-facing and wear plate welding material for commercial end users needing to extend the service life of mission-critical parts and components on ground-engaging tools and materials processing equipment used in industries such as mining, construction, oil and gas. When it comes to searching out cancer cells, gold may turn out to be a precious metal. Purdue University researchers have created gold nanoparticles that are capable of identifying marker proteins on breast cancer cells, making the tiny particle a potential tool to better diagnose and treat cancer. The technology would be about 3 times cheaper than the most common current method and has the potential to provide many times the quantity and quality of data. The gold nanoparticles, or nanorods, are tiny rod-shaped particles, even smaller than viruses, which are equipped with antibodies designed to bind to a specific marker on cell surfaces. Researchers analyse these surface markers, proteins on a cell's exterior, because they can contain valuable information about what type of cell they belong to or what state that cell may be in. The nanoparticles, or gold nanorod molecular probes, are fabricated so that their size is unique to the target marker. That way, when nanorods bind to their marker, they scatter or disrupt light in a characteristic manner that researchers can then pair to the nanorod's dimensions, its antibody, and the target cancer marker, which must be present for binding to occur. More than 200,000 women are diagnosed with breast cancer every year in the United States, and 80% of those women receive some type of therapy. Since 40% of them will have a relapse, regular monitoring, which this technology aims to do, is vital. Using gold nanorods for cancer detection will be about 1/3 the cost of current analogous technology called flow cytometry. It works by attaching fluorescent probes to cancer cells, whereas the nanorod technology has its basis in sensing plasmons, or subatomic particles, present in the gold nanoparticles. The nanorods also require only a few cells, whereas flow cytometry requires hundreds to thousands of cells. In recent years, Americans have been intrigued by the promise of hydrogen-powered vehicles, but experts have judged that several technology problems must be resolved before they become more than a novelty. Recently, scientists at the United States Department of Energy's Argonne National Laboratory have used their insights into nanomaterials to create bendy hydrogen sensors, which are at the heart of hydrogen fuel cells used in hydrogen vehicles. In comparison to previously designed hydrogen sensors, which are rigid and use expensive pure palladium, the new sensors are bendy and use single-walled carbon nanotubes to improve efficiency and reduce cost. The development of these hydrogen sensors will help to ensure economical, environmental, and societal safety, as the nation is realising the potential for a more hydrogen-based economy. Yugang Sun and H-Hao Wang, researchers in Argonne's Centre for Nanoscale Materials and Materials Science Division respectively, fabricated the new sensing devices using a two-step process separated by high and low temperatures. First, at around 900 degrees, researchers grow the single-walled carbon nanotubes on a silicon substrate using chemical vapor deposition. Then, researchers transfer the SWNTs onto a plastic substrate at temperatures lower than 150 degrees Celsius using a technique called dry transfer printing. This process is what allows the film of nanotubes to form on the plastic, after which the palladium nanoparticles can be deposited on the SWNTs to make the sensors. Palladium nanoparticles play an important role in increasing the interaction between hydrogen and the SWNTs to enhance the change of resistance of the device when it's exposed to hydrogen molecules. Flexible hydrogen sensors show a change of 75% in their resistance when exposed to hydrogen at a concentration of 0.05% in air. The devices can detect the presence of 1% hydrogen at room temperature every 3 seconds. Even after bending, with a bending radius of approximately 7.5 millimeters and relaxing 2,000 times, the devices still perform with as much effectiveness. Queensland University of Technology Professor Lydia Morowska has released a study that has found many office laser printers release clouds of ultrafine particles. The particles originate in the toner, and although they are yet to study the chemistry of the particles, the researchers warn that the particles can get deep into the lungs and lead to respiratory or cardiovascular problems. They also add that the particles are potentially carcinogens. Professor Morawska's team tested around 40 relatively new models of laser printers and found 30 to be high emitters of particles from the toner. The researchers recommend that printers are placed away from where people work. The next step is to investigate the makeup of the particles and possibly call for printer emissions to be regulated, much like those for motor vehicles, power stations and factories. It's as big as a football stadium and it's the newest jewel in the Australian scientific crown. The third generation synchrotron, the Australian synchrotron, was officially launched at the end of July in Victoria. Until now, Australian scientists wishing to conduct experimental research with the synchrotrons had to travel internationally to use other facilities from around the world. The expense and time required to do this was only part of the problem. Some scientists reported nervous pilots refusing them entry onto the plane with their samples to be studied. App Nanomaterials Incorporated, a provider of nanotechnology-based products, today announced the establishment of a subsidiary of App Nanomaterials that will develop and manufacture the company's new NanoArmor line of nanotechnology-based bulletproof products. The new subsidiary will start with products that enhance the performance of personal safety items, such as bulletproof vests and helmets, and will continue with protection products for vehicles and aircraft. The NanoArmor products will be based on App Nano's proprietary nanosphere and nanotubes, which are excellent shock-absorbing materials and among the most impact-resistant substances known in the world today. These revolutionary nanoparticles of inorganic compounds provide exceptional shock-absorbing capabilities. App Nano's nanomaterials have up to twice the strength of today's best impact-resistant protective armour materials, such as the boron carbide and silicon carbide used in hard armour plates, and is 4 to 5 times stronger than steel. The NanoArmor products will be made of tungsten disulfide nanoparticles, currently manufactured by App Nanomaterials under the trade name NanoArmor. In addition, the subsidiary will develop multi-walled titanium-based nanoparticles, which will enable it to produce over 50% lighter weight armour products. NanoArmor will provide multi-hit protection as well as enhanced ballistic and blast resistance. It will enable the development of special trauma layers behind the armour, reducing the level of blunt force trauma injuries. Acacia Research Corporation announced that the US Department of Defense has awarded a one-year, $2.2 million contract to CombiMatrix for further development of its microarray technologies for a multi-pathogen and chemical detection system. Under previously funded programs with the DoD, CombiMatrix has demonstrated that its products can simultaneously detect toxins, viruses and bacteria using its semiconductor-based microarrays. Unique to this platform is its on-chip electrochemical detection process, which eliminates the need for complex, expensive, and less portable optical instrumentation. These systems are currently in use at several military and government laboratories, as well as civilian installations. Scientists at the US Department of Energy's Argonne National Laboratory have identified a new technique for cleansing contaminated water and potentially purifying hydrogen for use in fuel cells, thanks to the discovery of an innovative type of porous material. The Argonne material scientists, along with colleagues at Northwestern and Michigan State Universities, created and characterized porous semiconducting aerogels at Argonne's advanced photon source. The researchers then submerged a fraction of a gram of the aerogel in a solution of mercury-contaminated water and found that the gel removed more than 99.99% of the heavy metal. The researchers believe that these gels could be used not only for this kind of environmental cleanup, but also to remove impurities from hydrogen gas that could damage the catalysts in potential hydrogen fuel cells. The aerogels, which are fashioned from molecules centered on the elements found directly under oxygen in the periodic table, are expected to be able to separate out the impurities from hydrogen gas, much as they did the mercury from the water, by acting as a kind of sieve or selectively permeable membrane. The unique chemical and physical structure of the gels will allow researchers to tune their pore sizes or composition in order to separate particular poisons from the hydrogen stream. The research team had not intended to create the aerogels, but their discovery proved fortunate. The researchers had used surfactants to produce porous semiconducting powders instead of gels. When one of the researchers ran the synthesis reaction without the surfactant, he noticed that gels would form time after time. Yeah. Researchers at the University of Manchester have used the world's thinnest material to create sensors that can detect just a single molecule of a toxic gas. The development of graphene-based devices, which could eventually be used to detect hidden explosives at airports and deadly carbon monoxide in homes, is reported in the latest issue of Nature Materials. 3 years ago, Manchester scientists discovered graphene, a one-atom-thick gauze of carbon atoms resembling chicken wire. This incredible new material has rapidly become one of the hottest topics in material science and solid-state physics. Now, the same Manchester team has found that graphene is extremely sensitive to the presence of minute amounts of gases, such as alcohol vapour or extremely toxic carbon monoxide. They say this sensitivity was unexpected and seems to contradict the common belief that graphene is extremely chemically inert. The researchers have shown that gas molecules gently attach themselves to graphene without disrupting its chicken wire structure. They only add or take away electrons from graphene, which results in notable change in its electrical conductance. The United States Department of Defense has awarded $1.6 million to the Center for Bioelectronics, Biosensors and Biochips at Clemson University for the development of an implantable biochip that could relay vital health information if a soldier is wounded in battle or a civilian is hurt in an accident. The biochip, about the size of a grain of rice, could measure and relay such information as lactate and glucose levels in the event of a major hemorrhage, whether on the battlefield, at home, or on the highway. According to the researchers, first responders to a trauma scene could inject the biochip into the wounded victim and gather data almost immediately. The device has other long-term potential applications, such as monitoring astronauts' vital signs during long-duration space flights and reading blood sugar levels for diabetics. Clemson scientists have formulated a gel that mimics human tissue and reduces the chances of the body rejecting the biochip, which has been a problem in the past. The researchers predict the biochip is 5 years away from human trials. Nissan Motor Company Limited has developed, as part of the Renault-Nissan alliance, a new catalyst for petrol cars that use only half the precious metal components versus conventional catalysts currently available, and will launch it in its cars from fiscal year 2008. The technology results in no changes in the performance of the catalyst. Exhaust-cleaning automotive catalysts comprise a mix of platinum, rhodium, and palladium. Within the catalyst, the chemical reaction between the precious metals and exhaust gases contributes to the chemical reaction of nitrogen oxide, carbon monoxide, and hydrocarbons into non-toxic compounds such as nitrogen, water, and carbon dioxide. In conventional catalysts, the high temperatures within the catalyst cause the precious metals to cluster up, reducing the exposed metal surface area, leading to less effective cleaning of the gases. Existing converters contain a higher amount of precious metal in order to compensate for this attrition. Employing advanced nanotechnology, Nissan has succeeded in keeping the fine metal particles separated to prevent them from clustering under high temperature conditions. AZO Nano News for the week commencing the 29th of July 2007. To review any of the stories featured in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please send an email to podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening. Thank you.